All right, everybody, welcome, welcome. It is time for another Toolbox Tuesday.
Yeah, continuing on kind of something we've been excited about for a long time, which is our treatment record exam recording and how we are actually getting objective analysis for our doctors and for our team on something that's very subjective a lot of times.
And if you have not been with us before for Toolbox Tuesday, every Tuesday in our practices, we pick one of the tools out of the hundreds of resources that we have available in our asset arsenal. And we have been in a four-part series about our exam analysis. If you have not been with us for the last few weeks, we've been talking about how we have built our exam flow for our doctors using AI to actually transcribe their exams. And all we're up to 31 evaluation points now at this point that we evaluate both our doctors and our team members on. And that's what we're going to get into today is the team evaluation part of this.
Yeah. So we're just to kind of set the table a little bit for kind of where we were last time and then kind of what drove us to develop something like this. I know we talked about a lot about kind of what drove us on the doctor side, but from the team side, was that any different from having that kind of objective analysis that was not, let's say, you telling them what to do and more kind of them seeing the light? Or were there other situations that we were really trying to improve on, and what really drove us to develop something like this, not just for the doctors, but for the team.
Yeah, I think, it's the same for doctors and team when you're initially trying to coach them on something. And we talked about last time, unless we were just going to be the ghosts in the hallway, which that happens sometimes too, trying to listen to every
That
exam
definitely
and every
does, yeah.
treatment. We joke about the shadows in the hallway. Like, why are you there right now? But unless you're actually in the op listening to every single exam and every single treatment presentation, which is not scalable or possible, and frankly is quite uncomfortable for everyone that's in that room, it's just impossible to really be able to coach. And so we went to, the exam recordings, but even in those situations, I would be listening to the exam recordings back, giving the treatment presenter feedback of, hey, maybe say this next time, and they'd automatically, well, I didn't say that, or, oh no, the patient didn't say that. Yeah, you did. Sure did. You sure did. So, and like we talked about, a couple of weeks back, there is a chasm between, if a patient schedules an appointment, it was always, well, the doctor did that exam right. If a patient didn't schedule the appointment, then the treatment presenter did it wrong. And we were really trying to bridge that gap so that the doctors and the team are all rowing in the same directions that, hey, you guys, we all have the same goal. We can all improve on what we're saying. And even our most seasoned team members, a lot of times, they go down a rabbit hole. I mean, I was joking with one of our doctors about this a couple of weeks ago. He was going through one of his exam transcriptions and he said, I knew I went down the rabbit hole and I didn't know how to get back. And I just kept talking and I was trying to talk myself out of it. So the point being, don't assume that just because you have a more experienced team member in air quotes, that they're going to have the scripting right 100% of the time, because that's also giving you a false sense of security. They're human. They need to be put back on track sometimes too.
Yeah, and that's, someone that's done it over and over and over again is harder to shape out bad habits, right? Because those habits have been ingrained for years on how they do things, right? And they might have, a lot of what they do that works really well, but there's a few things that they do that could be really counterproductive or really working against them in those situations. So I think that's kind of really huge. And in those situations, especially with a younger, excuse me, a more seasoned team member or doctor, telling them certain things that we saw or we noticed and that they can improve doesn't always go very well, right? Because they think, I've done this for, umpteen years. I got it. I'm good. Who are you to tell me? Showing someone the facts doesn't just work with patients. It works with team members and doctors too, right? And I think that's kind of the realization that we've come to many, many times over, and we have to relearn that in a lot of situations to be re-reminded of that. So it's, yeah. And I think the other thing that I kind of pointed out that really stuck out when you're talking to Jennifer is this seems like and seemed like it helped to bridge the gap between an individual sport and a team sport. And us as doctors, we or even treatment presenters for that matter, we consider with our role and what we do as individual, right? This is my role. I'm going to take this part of it. If I do a really good job here, that means I did a good job. Not if I do a really good job here, that means a lot of things in succession happen from different people along the way, right? Whether it's the marketing, it's the front office, it's the doctor, it's the assistant, and now it's me, whatever it is. And so, and I think that really kind of bridged the gap is like, okay, how are we communicating in a way that's setting the next person up in line for the most success? Right. That's it. You know, the person greeting the person in the front, right? That's setting someone up for a good exam and a good treatment presentation down the line. Doctor exam that kind of, you know, really tease up the treatment presenter, really tease up the assistant to show the patient that that's, you know, the best person to handle this treatment presentation. That was really kind of something that we saw too. So, you know, in from that standpoint, I mean, what certain things, what other things were you really noticing from a team standpoint that really stood out as a benefit when we started to roll this out?
One of the things that this was born from was the cross-training aspect of things. You know, we've been very open about that we have our team members as cross-trained as possible. And that's not to say that on day one, everybody's doing everything. Obviously, there, you know, we have our first 400 onboarding program, but we have never had in our practices a treatment coordinator job title, an exclusive treatment coordinator job title. And we've heard this from, you know, time and again and acquisitions that we've done over the years where one person was presenting all the treatment plans. So you're looking at that one person that, oh, well, you know, they had 70% case acceptance or 80% case acceptance. They're the only one scheduling appointments. They better have, you know, 100% case acceptance for what they're scheduling. And then that one person goes to lunch and all of a sudden no one else can present a treatment plan. That's not scalable for us, you know, or that one person then goes out on maternity leave or, you know, whatever the situation is, and no one else can present a treatment plan. So, you know, for us, it was born out of necessity. We needed to make sure that everyone was cross-training. We really are trying to break down the barriers to scheduling. That's why we have this process to begin with. You know, we're really looking at all of the things that we can control that help drive production. And so if it's breaking it down for a treatment presenter to make sure that they're saying the things just like the rest of our sound offs and our scripting, don't just assume that they're going to go in and say what it is that we want them to say, right? It's a give them a framework because they're going to freeze if they don't have that framework. You know, as soon as you have a patient who, you know, back office, for example, if they're not familiar with some of the insurance benefits, if they're not prepared for a patient to ask about insurance benefits, they're going to panic and say, I don't know, and I need to get somebody else to help you. That also isn't instilling confidence in your patient that anyone on the team, if the patient isn't looking at that, well, that's a back office person. They're not going to know. They want to have their answers, their questions answered right then and there. Like, why don't you know those things? Everybody should know those things. And in our practices, we do treatment estimates before patients schedule. I know that that's not something every practice does, but again, for us, we want to make sure that our patients are financially prepared. They know what to expect when they walk in the door, and we don't have that uncomfortable situation of a patient coming in to check in for their appointment. They're not anticipating that they owed XYZ dollar amount. We've also said before, $5 to one person can be $5,000 to another person. So it's not even a dollar amount limit. We don't want them at the counter going, well, you never told me I was going to owe X amount. I don't have a financial plan for that today. And then the production falls off the doctor's schedule, and the doctors are going, what just happened to my case that was scheduled this morning? So it's to prevent barriers in scheduling, it's to prevent breaks in the pathway, and to make sure that the team knows what their expectations are when they are doing these treatment presentations, with the end goal being we break down barriers so that patients will schedule their treatment.
So what about the difference between, because we've been recording our exams and a lot of our cases for years and years and years, right? You know, we can tell some funny stories about how I contacted GoPro to get a embedded in my loops and things like that too. Before there were all these loop cameras that are now out now. But
And we did have consents for recording in case
we
anybody
have
thought I was
consents for all these,
wondering.
by the way. Yes, we do. What was the difference? And I think because this was a big one for me, but I want to hear your take on it. Well, what was the difference between just having team members or doctors watch their own exams, for example, versus having a grade or essentially an output from now an AI and the effectiveness of kind of learning about that? And what were you seeing on that front?
I had both ends of the spectrum. I had the number one, when I went to people to say, hey, I think you can improve XYZ, they automatically felt like I was attacking them. Whether that was definitely not my intention, and it didn't really matter which way I was trying to approach it with them, because in their eyes, it was me telling them that they were doing something wrong. even though we had the metrics in place, we have the checklist, but I was finding everything that they were doing wrong. Now, of course, I highlighted the positives and we had plenty of those of, you know, hey, great presentation from XYZ person. But there was some subjectivity in their interpretation of that. And then when they were watching their own, we had opposite ends of the spectrum. I either had the people who were super hard on themselves, whether they scheduled or not, and they're just finding everything that's possibly wrong with everything, or it was an outlier situation, our favorite thing, right? That was a special patient. Now we made that situation a special patient situation. Regardless of whatever the specific barrier is to scheduling, there's a common theme there, right? It falls in a couple of buckets. It's fear, it's finances. Sometimes there's a scheduling issue. Those are all things that we can help work through. So they were not very effective, and it became a very uncomfortable situation for me because I was trying to help. I was trying to help SBBTY. I was trying to help drive production and seeing having people see the opportunities that they had, but they were waiting for me to tell them what was wrong every week.
Yeah. And I think this is, the best way to, I'll always bring kind of a lot of things I always kind of bring back to athletics and sports. But, if you watch yourself on video playing a sport, you're learning how to play tennis, golf, surfing, whatever it is, right? You see yourself, everyone hates it. Whether you're, world champion, pro, or you're just learning, right? Everyone hates watching themselves on video, right? Because we always look at, hey, that doesn't look the way I thought it looked. That doesn't look the way it seemed to me that it looked. But that's also why we have coaches. Kelly Slater, Tiger Woods, Roger Federer, they all have coaches, multiple coaches, right? They don't, people think that you don't need a coach at that level. BS. They have more coaches than they know what to do with for different things. And the reason is because watching yourself on video sometimes just looks bad, but you don't know why. And if we're asking people to, especially when, younger team members or younger doctors in this situation, if we're asking them to watch a video of themselves and to improve on certain things, and we'll give them a checklist or different things to kind of look out for. They don't know how impactful each one of those little things that they do negatively is, right? Or positively for that matter. And so it really takes a coach to kind of point out, see how you're doing this. This could be done this a little bit differently. And to Jennifer's point, it's if it's a coach pointing it out, it's someone telling you, hey, this is the way you do it, versus them seeing it now in an objective printout. They can reevaluate themselves. Oh, I remember when Jennifer, I remember when Sten told me that. I remember when I looked at this. Now I see it right there. And they're kind of self-regulating, they're self-improving. And it's a little bit quicker. It's a lot quicker. So that was kind of something that I really saw is, it's the benefit of having that coach looking over your shoulder and kind of telling you different points than on improvement without having someone always looking over your shoulder. And I
Well,
think
and
that goes a long way, especially for people that are, going to dentistry, because there is a little bit of that lone wolf feel for a lot of us dentists that want to, go in, that we kind of think of ourselves as having our own practice, even if we are part of a group or a bigger organization. Yeah.
Well, and it was inadvertently discouraging for a lot of people too, where, you know, they just felt like they were doing everything wrong and not realizing how close that they were, you know, or, oh, well, then I'm just not as good as XYZ person. Well, that may be true, but that doesn't mean that you can't get there, right? This is not, we're not asking for someone to take years and years and years. And that's where a little bit of the gatekeeping, I think, comes from people who do have a little bit more experience and they want to keep others down, which again doesn't work, you know, in our practice if they're not willing to share what is working for them or to share their, you know, their little tips and tricks that make it go a little bit easier. There's no reason that your brand new dental assistant a couple months out can't do this. And quite honestly, some of our back office assistants are our most successful schedulers.
100%. Yeah.
And, you know, they're not, sometimes that lack of knowledge, if you will, about every little nitty gritty insurance plan and whatnot really goes to their advantage because they're not getting lost in the weeds with, well, this insurance covers $50, whereas this one covers $75. No, this is what the treatment plan is. This is what your estimate insurance benefits are. I have availability on Tuesday at 10 or Thursday at 2, what works best for you. And they're not getting into, you know, sometimes again, you know, getting in the rabbit hole with our front office is more experienced that, well, there's a waiting period on this plan and you might have major coverage and maybe the benefits will change in January. Stop talking for the love of all things holy that the
You're just
patient wasn't
confusing
even
people. Yeah.
asking.
Yeah. People just get confused. Yeah. And it comes from a good place. I mean, people are trying to kind of, give them all the information, show them how much they know, just kind of make them feel comfortable with their expertise. What it does 99% of the time is it just grinds people to a halt because they just think, oh, there are a million other things I should be considering. Maybe I need to do my own research. Do I need to go get a second opinion, third opinion? Do I need to talk to a bunch of family members, whatever it is? And saying, if there's all these things that this person's telling me right now, there must be a lot more that I don't understand. And I they just get it scares people and it makes them it kind of builds this anxiety. So 100%. And to that point too, about even when you made earlier about that key team member, that quote unquote closer that a lot of dentists think is the end all the be all. Sometimes it is, but we've gone into practices a lot of times and have that closer where a doctor thinks they have the closer and their acceptance rate is terrible. And because of what they're letting people go a lot, it's like this, they're almost like, building this practice of supervised neglect, but they have this one hinge treatment coordinator that people are calling. They got sticky notes everywhere, special deals everywhere, all these different things. But to your point though, is I think what we realized is that, we've had dozens, if not more, situations where our quote unquote closer was beat out by a 6 month dental assistant, right? In stats. And we have a situation right now where a couple of them are actually rising to the top. And I mean, these people are just not yet, I'm not even getting their RDA yet. And they're doing fantastic. And they're doing really, really well. And these front office people that think they're the closer and they can kind of, get any case on the schedule, we're realizing that they're really not as key or as critical as they think or that we once thought too.
On Fridays, one of our waterfalls that we post is our appointment scheduling rates, and we do it every single week. And we highlight who the top four appointment schedulers are each week. I don't like to see the same people in that top four. And, our leadership team, I'm very upfront with them that I really don't want them in that top four at all because I want them passing that on to other team members and giving somebody else a chance to rise. This is not, you have the crown and I'm not giving up my title, but that's not what the goal is by any stretch of the imagination. The goal is, again, case acceptance, driving that production, and having anyone who is available being able to get that case on your schedule.
And we're not talking about the new hire that's just working for 3 weeks. That's not what we're talking about. But I think we've tried to rotate people in very early, like within the first few months sometimes. And with someone that's more seasoned, kind of in the room with them, making sure they can do, and definitely a recording situation happening at the same time. And with a lot of training and a kind of, I mean, we have tons of training on this and people that they can break out the Rent-A-Friends we have too with our point people. But they do really, really well. They do really, really well. Yeah. And there's something to be said about having an assistant that's already been taking a patient's x-rays, already been doing oral ID, already been doing some of the other records, things like that, talking to the patient kind of, throughout the whole appointment, already taking a pano, things like that. And then having that same person present the treatment plan, there's a little bit of this continuity or kind of comfort that happens with the patient too, versus having, oh, now we got some other salesperson coming in. Sometimes is what patients, the way patients read it a little bit. Not to say you can't avoid that all the time, but there is a little bit of, question marks that kind of pop up. You see it in patients' minds when that does happen sometimes.
I mean, when the assistant leaves the room, and even if we have the radio going on in the background or whatever the case may be, doctor's out of the room, assistant's out of the room, your patient is left staring at the ceiling, waiting for the financial bomb to hit. Right? That's what they're waiting for. Front office is now going to tell me how painful this is about to be. Right? And again, we're not saying that dentistry does not cost money. We're not hiding from the fact that there is a financial component, but again, they can get themselves worked up into a frenzy and have no idea that it usually is not as worse as what they were anticipating. So, if we can try to soften that as much as possible, that again is a barrier to your scheduling. So I wanted to touch on just real briefly before we leave on this series, what our metrics are when we're evaluating our treatment presenters. So as I mentioned, we have our 31 point inspection, if you will, from our AI that analyzes these exams for us. So from a treatment presentation standpoint, it's an introduction. Again, we talk about this with our doctors, we talk about this with our assistants. You would be shocked at how many assistants, front office doctors just go in a room, gangbusters, don't even introduce themselves and open your mouth and let's go. Like, you all have a name. Let's just hi, my name is. And I love on our AI transcript because it actually gives, this is all of our team's favorite part too. It gives an example of, well, Roberto is our agent's name because I name all of the inanimate objects in our practice. Roberto doesn't need to tell me how to introduce myself. Apparently he does because y'all just walk in the room and start talking. So, hello, my name is. Using patient-friendly terms is a big one. Just like with doctors, patients are not impressed if you're going into scientific terminology. And we're really big on our, we call them our trigger words to make sure that our assistants, our doctors, and our front office are all using the same terms so that a patient does not get confused or think they have five different things going on with their tooth, not realizing we're all talking about the same thing. We want to make sure that they're hitting on the financial options that are available, payment plans, third-party financing, whatever you have as an option for your patients. We give two options for scheduling. We don't leave it open-ended to everything under the sun because patients are going to look for the out. If we say, would you like to schedule that next year? Of course, they're going to say, sure. That must mean that I can wait until next year and it'll be fine. Give them two options. Don't give them the Cheesecake Factory menu of options under the sun. Keep it dialed in. And then 2 minutes or less. They should be able to go through what the cost is for the treatment, what is estimated insurance, their portion, the two scheduling options in 2 minutes or less. If it's gone longer than that, we've gone way down a rabbit hole. And yes, if a patient has other questions, we're here to help them with the questions, but we should have the basics hit within that time frame.
Right.
All right, so we hope that you all have enjoyed this series. We are going to be doing a similar topic on our next series where we're talking about elements of production success and building onto this with the knobs that you can turn. So that's what we'll be starting on next week. In the meantime, if you would like to connect with us to hear about our partnership opportunities and our private client options, our email is connect@pathwaydentalsolutions.com. You can also find us on our website, pathwaydentalsolutions.com, and we are on all of the social platforms. So please feel free to reach out and we look forward to seeing you all back next week.
All right, guys. Bye.
Bye.